Well, hello. Happy Revenge of the Sith. Any of my Star Wars people out there, the chuckles, I know that means you're a fellow Star Wars nerd. Yesterday was May the 4th be with you, so today is Revenge of the 5th. It's Star Wars weekend, so woohoo. We're in a series called Jesus Gets Us, and Jesus also gets Star Wars, because don't get me started on how many of their storylines are taken directly from the Bible. It's most of them, not all of them. So welcome today. If you are online, go ahead and chat your favorite Star Wars movie or show, and then fight amongst yourselves about which ones count and which ones don't. And pay attention to nothing else the rest of the day. Okay. All right, so our goal today, hopefully we're going to see Jesus in some new ways, maybe hear a story you haven't heard before or hear it in a new way, and also really our prayer, really our goal is that we'll all take a step today. We can all take a step of growth because, turns out, we need it. He's so cute. Sorry, I get easily distracted, especially when there's babies, so thank you, Josh, I appreciate that. We want to see growth today, like the Mandalorian helping baby Yoda grow, which is perfect. See how that worked? It weaved in. That was good. Can we also just pause for a second? Anyone else that has watched Mandalorian, all my other Star Wars nerds, when they revealed the name of baby Yoda to be Grogu, really? Grogu? They couldn't find a better name than Grogu? Gross goo. I don't like it. Anyways, all right, we dive into God's word today. Will you join me in praying that God will speak to us in real and powerful and life-changing ways? Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you, the almighty creator of everything, care about us. That you care about us enough to want to see us grow, to improve, to get better, to become more of the people that you created us to be. God, we give this time to you. We pray you will speak, that we will open our hearts, open our minds to whatever it is you have to tell us today. We thank you for what your Holy Spirit is going to do in our lives in these next few minutes. We love you, Jesus. Pray that in your name. Amen. So recently, I had the opportunity to spend about 6 or 7 weeks as a fifth grade teacher. It was really exciting. So I have my substitute teacher license that I kind of do on the side here and there. And there's a teacher going on maternity leave, and I was asked to come in and help. And it was awesome. I had a lot of fun. It was wonderful. And if you're a teacher, thank you. Yes. Clap for them. Thank you. That's it. Just thank you. One of the really cool parts about like being in the schools and just working with kids is you get to see growth. I mean, sometimes literally you see the growth. I'll go into a classroom, and then I won't go back into that classroom for a couple months, and you go in, and you're like, holy cow, kid, you literally grew like 12 inches. Like, you can literally see the growth. But the really cool part is when you see the other kinds of growth, when you see the maturity, the growth in wisdom and self-esteem. It's really, really cool. And being in the schools kind of in a more intense kind of way for a few weeks, it was really cool because I got to see some of that. One story, it was a kid, and he was really struggling with some math, which I get it, because if you tried to do fifth grade math, I couldn't do it. Anyways, don't let them know. So he was really struggling, and so we worked really hard, and he came in, and we did some extra stuff, and we sent some stuff home. He worked hard with his parents, and that moment when we were sitting in the classroom, and it clicked. And he got it. And that look on his face, because you can just see it with kids, you know, and it is so cool just to see that moment. And, you know, not because he understood some math concept, but, you know, that's important, that matters. But more so because he realized, I can do this. Like that self-esteem, that, like, realizing that he had the ability to do something that he didn't think he could do. And seeing that change was just, I mean, I'm going to get teary-eyed talking about it now. It's just, it was so cool to see that growth. Don't we just love those stories? Don't we just love the stories when we see somebody grow? When we see some change take place in somebody's lives, and it's easier to see with kids than adults for probably a lot of reasons. But we love those moments. Last week, we had a bunch of people get baptized. We watched that video earlier, and it's just, I'm going to cry today, apparently. It's just seeing that visual of people taking that step of growth, of change, it's inspiring. We love to see it. The Olympics are coming up this summer, and while we don't actually care about any of those sporting events, we love to hear the stories of the people involved, because so many of them have these inspirational changes where they had obstacles to overcome, and they grew and they changed, and we love those stories. So why don't we see more of that in our own lives? We know we need it. We love to hear those stories with other people. We love to hear those stories with kids especially. So why don't we see more of that in our own lives? I wonder sometimes. Because it's so important, and we know it, but we get stuck. It's one of the other reasons I like working with kids, is because it's sometimes easier to get them over their barriers than it is with adults, because we have in our minds built up these barriers for growth, and instead of being just a small barrier that we can get over, we build them into these mansions and these fortresses that I could never get. No, you can. You can. With God's help, you can. So Dr. Stan Hyman, he's this like psychotherapist and a life coach. So he actually outlines 10 different barriers for growth, the top 10 barriers for growth. I think these are on your note sheet. We're going to go through these real quick. And as we're going through these real quick, I want you to think about yourself. Think about your own life. It's really easy to kind of point these out in other people. So no like pointing to the person next to you's sheet and going, okay, this is for you. As I'm reading through these, I want you to think and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Which one of these is present in your life right now? Maybe it's one. Maybe it's all 10. Maybe you're like me. You're an overachiever. You're like, I get all of them. Yes. Oh, let's go through these 10 barriers for growth. Number one is fear. Fear holds us back from so many things, right? Could be the fear of acknowledging your inadequacies. Could be the fear of change. I know we all love change, right? I'm weird. I like it. But I understand that that's weird for most people because they don't like change. It's scary. Could be denial. You prefer to live in your own world of fiction where you're perfect. You're not. Pride. You think you're a little more important than you actually are. And that brings you a sense of superiority. Could be defensiveness. This is usually a sign that our insecurities are showing. Keisha would say that I get defensive. And I would defend that. Not taking responsibility. You know, if you're always the victim, you're always going to be the victim. And then you stop growth. Could be a lack of self-discipline. You know what to do. It's just another thing to actually take those steps. Lack of motivation. You just don't really see the need. Lack of goals. If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? Could be a negative or a pessimistic attitude. People will say, oh, I'm just realistic. Really? When you constantly focus on the negative, guess what? You get a lot of negativity. Could be a lack of support, because you need a good support system around you to grow. So which of those barriers, as I was reading through them, one or two of them stuck out in your head? Which one is it? If you're brave, there's some space on your note sheet on purpose for you to, I'm throwing things, for you to write that down. If you're brave, if you're serious about growth, write it down. Acknowledge it. Which barriers are you facing right now? Because growth is hard. Growth is difficult. We all want growth, but the reason that a lot of us don't see it is because it's difficult. We'd rather focus on the ways we want to change our house and renovate our house, or what do we want to do to the yard? What do we, instead of focusing on how do I need to change? Growth is hard. But so necessary. And turns out, you're not perfect. I know, right? Turns out, there's been one perfect person ever. His name is Jesus. And even he experienced growth. What? Huh? How does Jesus experience growth? That's confusing. But even Jesus experienced growth. We're going to talk about that today. According to the Bible, Jesus had to grow. So today we're going to go through a couple of Bible stories. We're going to talk about a verse that I've been trying to make sense of for a very long time and cannot do it. I cannot make sense of it. So since it confuses me, we're going to confuse everybody. So you're welcome. You ready to jump in? Ready to jump into the Bible today? All right, let's do it. So we're going to be talking mostly in Luke chapter 2 today. This is the end of the Christmas story according to Luke. And if you know me, you know I'm not a huge fan of Christmas, so I like to jump to the end of Christmas and only talk about the last part because then we're done with Christmas. So we're going to do that today. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 39. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There, the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. All right, another quick pause. Does the phrase, the child, sound familiar to anyone? Grogu. Again, why did they name him Grogu? Just stick with Baby Yoda or the child. You know what I'm saying? Such a better name than Grogu. I'm not angry about it. Maybe a little. Brandon, move on. So that Jesus grows up healthy and strong and is filled with wisdom. I could spend the next hour just talking about this sentence. That's insane. This is crazy. Jesus grew up. He was filled with wisdom. How? How is Jesus filled with wisdom? It's one of those little phrases in the Bible we just read and then we go, huh? I don't get it. So we're going to talk about it later. Let's continue the story. Verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So we're going to fast forward a few years. That first two verses were when Jesus was like 2 years old. They did all the things at the temple, and then they went home, and he grew up. We're going to fast forward a few years. They go to the Passover festival every year. Verse 42, when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But 12-year-old Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking around for him among the relatives and friends. Now, I actually taught on this story a couple years ago, and we talked about that absolute panic moment when, like, you don't know where your kid's at. Like, even you just experience it at your house. But can you imagine actually, like, you can't find your kid? It's panic. Can you imagine if that kid isn't just a kid? That's an awful phrase. But this kid is also the savior of the world. And you lost him. Yikes, right? But pay attention here how Luke mentions that Jesus is 12. This is important for what we're talking about today. We know 12-year-olds, if we're going to talk about change, 12-year-olds go through some change. Remember that? Probably not. You blocked that out of your memory. The parents that have kids that recently went through that are all like in shock and like PTSD right now. Right? 12-year-olds, they go through a lot of change. Side note, parents, if you have kids around that age, you need to talk to them about sex, about puberty, about relationships, about all of that stuff a lot earlier than you think you do. Most parents, we get to that a little too late, and it's scary. It's just scary to talk about. So if that scares you, get a hold of me. We've got some resources here. We can help you have those conversations with your kids, but they're so vital. And if you're thinking you might need to do it soon, that means you need to do it now. So Jesus, he's 12. That's the age, ancient Jewish times, where he was becoming a man. He was right in the middle of that process of kind of leaving like the children and being around his mom more to being around his stepdad, learning the trade, being around the men. One of the reasons why they didn't realize he was missing at first was because they both were like, oh no, Jesus is always with, he always travels with his mom. He's just with his cousins and siblings. And Mary's like, oh no, this is the age where he switches and goes with the men, because they traveled in huge groups. And so it actually makes a lot of sense of how he got left behind. But here we are, Jesus, 12, in that in-between stage, trying to figure out where do I fit in, not really sure where he belongs. Do I belong with my earthly family? Do I belong somewhere else? We're going to come back to that in a minute. But first, let's keep reading. Verse 45. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. Jesus, fully God, fully man, is sitting there listening and asking questions. Something about growing in wisdom and asking questions and listening that's somehow weirdly related. Anyways, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So that's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. The 12-year-old Jesus sitting with like the smartest religious scholars asking questions, and they're like, whoa, this kid knows his stuff. Well, he was kind of there. Verse 48, his parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Why have you? Because she's a mom. They're parents. You search for him for 3 days in absolute panic. So here we go. Point number one today. Jesus gets us. He gets us. He knows what it's like to disappoint his parents. I don't want to go through the list of all the ways I've disappointed my parents. We'll be here all day. Jesus was the only perfect human ever. He was fully human. He was fully God. At the same time, those things mixed in. Somehow he was 200%. Part of his human experience was disappointing his parents, at least his earthly parents. Let's keep reading. Verse 49. Why did you need to search? Jesus asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. So I'm always fascinated as I read the Bible, as I study the Bible, at how much did people understand in the moment when it was happening? Because we've heard the whole story, right? We understand it gets to Easter and Jesus dies and he comes back to life and we've read the miracles. And yes, Mary, they were aware. The whole birth story, the angels show up, he's Messiah, Savior. They knew, yet they didn't always understand. And so I'm always just fascinated as I read these stories. Like, how much did they really understand in that moment? Because Luke is clear, they did not understand exactly what Jesus meant. I also think this shows some of the inner, maybe turmoil is too strong of a word, but some of the inner struggle that Jesus was going through here, trying to understand where he belonged. I mean, he's a unique one of one that he was fully God, fully human, the only human to ever be perfect. And he's at this age where he's becoming a man. He is starting to hang around Joseph, his stepdad, learning to be a carpenter, and we know that he did that up until the age of 30, so he was fully engaged with being a part of my human family and fitting in with all that that meant. Yet here we have this story where he's also like at the temple saying, I'm at my father's house, my heavenly father's house. So he's got like a foot in both worlds, and he's fully human, and he's 12, and as we know, being 12 is not easy. And so he's got this struggle. Where do I belong? I think so many of us battle with that question. Where exactly do I belong? This is something every, middle schooler, teenager goes through, but I'm convinced that most adults also continue to grow through this. Point number two, he gets us. He needed to find where he belonged. One of my favorite bands is the band Linkin Park, and one of my favorite songs by Linkin Park is a song called Where I Belong, and I think they sum this up pretty well in the song. It says, the chorus goes like this, I want to heal, I want to feel like I'm close to something real. I want to find something I've wanted all along, somewhere I belong. I think that fits so many of us. I want to heal. I want to feel like I'm close to something real. I want to find something I've wanted all along, somewhere I belong. Our vision here at Crossroads Community Church is to be that, is to be a place where you belong. No matter what your history is, no matter what trauma you've been through, no matter what people have done to you, people have said to you, no matter exactly what you even believe right now, we want this to be a place, a group of people, a community where you belong, where your friends that aren't aware of Crossroads yet can come and belong. We accept you. We will love you. You belong. You belong here with us, with a broken group of imperfect people that are just trying to figure life out. And if you're here this morning and you feel those lyrics in your soul, like, that's me, I hope that that helps bring you some peace today. Like, stay involved, get more involved, make this a place where you belong. All right, in our story, we only have two more verses to go. No, boy. Are they packed with some really juicy theology nuggets? Are we ready to go? Here we go. Nugs, not drugs, kids. Let's go. Verse 51. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus was obedient to Mary and Joseph, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Whoa. Jesus. We've established the only ever perfect human, the only one, the perfect human, the God-man, fully God, fully human, that person was obedient to Mary and Joseph. What does that mean? Was there like situations when he was growing up and he's like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, nope, you're doing it because we're your parents. And he's like, okay. What were those moments like? Fascinating, right? But this is clear. Luke says it, and he probably got this story from Mary. Mary was like, yeah, he listened. He obeyed. It's crazy. There's another story in John chapter 2. Jesus had just gotten his disciples gathered, the whole like fishermen thing. He gets them gathered, but they haven't done anything publicly yet. He hasn't done any miracles. He hasn't gone out and taught anything yet. He's just kind of gathering his team. So he's got his disciples, his 12 closest followers, and he's with his family, and they go to a wedding. And they're at this wedding, and this total ancient Jewish faux pas happens. Like, so embarrassing. Oh, my goodness. Oh. They ran out of wine. So Mary comes to Jesus knowing that he can fix the problem, and she's like, Jesus, they're out of wine. And Jesus, this is his response. He says, dear woman, and that's not like, I always read this when I was a kid, and I was like, yes, I can call my mom. Hey, woman. No, that, remember that first point about disappointing your parents? Anyways, Jesus says, dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. Jesus is like, not time yet. Nope. Mary just does not even pay attention one bit to anything Jesus is saying. She doesn't listen. She doesn't even hear him say it. She just brings some servants over and says, do whatever he says. And Jesus is like, Mom, I just said, no, it's not time yet. But now these servants are here looking at me like I got to do something. So Jesus is like, okay, fine. Just go see those barrels over there, fill them with water, and they dip their ladle in. And it's not just wine, but the most delicious wine. Jesus obeyed his mom. This is one of my favorite, for all of you parents out there, this is one of my favorite messages to preach to kids. Because they're immediately like, oh, so wine, what does that mean? I'm like, this story means you should obey your mom. They're like, no! It's great. It's good times. They hate it. It's wonderful. Your next point on your outline, if you're taking notes, Jesus gets us. He knows what it's like to submit to authority, even if he doesn't want to. Which is a weird thought. That Jesus submitted to authority. Remember Easter? Scott taught on this story where Jesus says, he's praying the night before he's crucified, and he says, take this cup of suffering away from me, because he knew what was about to come. Yet he submitted to his heavenly Father and went through everything. And now we're left with one last verse in our story. A verse I've tried to make sense of, but my little brain just has so much trouble making sense of it. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Point number four, Jesus gets us. He gets us. He experienced growth. Jesus, the only perfect person, fully human, fully God, fully divine, experienced growth. And what's kind of cool is this story is actually bookended by Luke saying Jesus grew. Remember the very beginning of this story? We said Jesus did all of the things in Jerusalem, all the ceremonial stuff that they had to do with the temple, the baby. And then they went home, and Jesus grew up. And then we get this story when he's 12. It's the only story we get between Jesus being 2 and being 30. And at the end of this story, it says, and Jesus grew. So in trying to make sense of this verse, because this is, how does Jesus grow? Like, how does that happen? How does he grow in wisdom, right? He already just went to the temple, and they're all like, how does this kid know so much? And then after that, he grew more. So I was trying to research this, trying to figure it out. And those two words for grow, or he grew, are actually two different words. In the Greek that this was written in, it was two different words. The first one, when Jesus was 2, literally just means to grow up. Like when I go into a classroom in the fall, and then I don't go back into that classroom until later on in the spring, and those kids are like all 6 inches taller. That's the word for that. Jesus, he grew. He got taller. He got bigger. He grew up. But this word that is used in this verse can be translated as he grew, but also has a slightly different meaning. The word is prokopto, which I'm positive I am pronouncing horribly wrong. Prokopto can be translated as grew. So we just read the NLT translation. The NIV also says he grew. But listen to three other translations that are all using the same Greek words to translate the Bible, but they're a little different. So in the ESV translation, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The ASV says, and Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature. The NASB says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature. So this word has a little bit different meaning than just, he's a kid that grew up. It means he increased something. He advanced his ability to do something. He kept increasing. In what? In wisdom. This verse also means to lengthen by hammering as a smith forges. So there's an idea here that this is not growth by accident. This is very intentional, like a smith, a blacksmith with a forge, hammering out this metal to make something intentional. Jesus didn't just experience generic growth that everyone experiences. He experienced specific, intentional growth, an increasing in something. This is kind of more like that kid that worked really hard to understand a math concept, not because the math was important, but when he learned, oh, I can do this. He had growth in overall wisdom. That's how Jesus grew. And if Jesus, the perfect human, needed to grow in specific, intentional ways, if Jesus, the perfect human, the God-man, the leader of my life, needed to grow in wisdom. Probably I do too. Right? I mean, I know Jesus was 12. You look at any 12-year-old and you're like, they need to grow in wisdom. But this is also the same 12-year-old that just went to the temple and all of the religious leaders were amazed at how wise he was already. Yet after that story, he continued to experience growth. So the question today, and my prayer for today, is that each and every one of us will genuinely and honestly wrestle with this question, that it won't be something that just kind of happens here today in this room and we go, that was interesting, and move on, but something that the Holy Spirit will continue, I call it to kick me in the shins, just that constant like reminder of things when I need something from, you know, God, when I need to grow. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to kick you in the shin all week. What growth do I need to experience? What is my next step for growth? Do I need to grow as a parent? Yes. Do I need to grow in my career? Probably. Do you need to grow in wisdom? Absolutely. Do you need to grow as a spouse? Probably. Do you need to grow as a child? Yeah, probably. There's 100 ways. We all need growth. What is it for you? Because growth, this prokopto idea of growth, does not happen by accident. This intentional, specific kind of growth only happens when you are specific and intentional. We need growth. I've been speaking, teaching the Bible publicly for 20-ish years, maybe longer, I don't know. Math. See, I'm not a great fifth-grade teacher. Don't give me math. Okay, give me stories. I'll teach you stories. I was reminded this week of one of the very first times that I ever spoke or I taught. I was with a group of middle schoolers, and the topic for that day, which was chosen by me, was for middle schoolers, changing our paradigms. You know what didn't happen that day? Any paradigms being changed. None. Not a chance in the world any of them knew what that meant. I'm pretty sure I don't even know what that means. Growth. It's important. Listen, I'm probably not supposed to tell you this. I've heard a copy of one of Pastor Scott's first ever messages. Be thankful for growth. I didn't say it, don't record that part. Growth is important. Just in terms of speaking, I am light years from where I was when I was talking to middle schoolers about changing the paradigms in your brain. I hope that in 20 years, I'm lightning way better than today because I want to continue to grow. And that's just one little area. Do you know why we don't give birth to babies? I mean, why we do give birth to babies and not teenagers? Exactly. None of them would survive. Right? That's a funny thought. We need these nice, cute, cuddly babies to fall in love with before they turn into teenagers. Also, as they get older, kids aren't the only ones growing. So are we as parents. I'm not sure any parent's ready to have a middle schooler. We're going to be in that world next year. I am not ready. I'm excited for it. Not ready for it. But it's one of our goals, Keisha and I as parents, that we want to keep growing. We want to keep changing. We want to keep becoming better parents. I want to be a better parent next year than I am right now. I'm a better parent today than I was when my kids were born. Growth. It doesn't happen on accident. You have to be intentional about it. all of us need to grow. The cool part about God, I mean, there's so many of them, but Jesus gets us. He's been through so many of the things that we have been through. And as he kept increasing in wisdom and he kept growing, even the things maybe he didn't experience exactly like you did, he knows what it's like. The cool part about God is he is so concerned about you and your life. He cares about you so incredibly much that when he created you, you were not an accident. When he created you, it wasn't just, let's see what happens. Oh, man, oh, no, okay, no, let's try this one. No! He created you on purpose, the way you are on purpose. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to continue to grow into the person that he created you to be, understanding none of us are ever going to get there. None of us are ever going to be perfect. We're looking for progress, not perfection. So today, let's make some progress. What growth do you need to experience? Maybe not the growth I want, because I can come up with some ways I want to grow. But by genuinely and honestly wrestle with God, wrestle with that question, God, how do you want me to grow? What's my next step of growth according to you? Because he's got one for all of us. What is it? Ask the Holy Spirit in to your life today, because he's already there. Ask him to speak in a way that you're going to hear. Because God's got something for you. And oh boy, does it feel so great. Does it feel so special when you hear that voice of God saying, hey, do this. Even if it's hard, even if it makes no sense in the moment, and it's going to be hard, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be difficult. But oh, so worth it. Oh, so worth it. Whatever your next step is, let God take control of your life. Let him show you that step. God, we love you so incredibly much. Jesus, thank you for every single thing you went through for us. It's amazing to think, God. It's so humbling to think that you care about me. That you care enough about me that you want to see me grow. And you are involved in my life enough to know what that next step is. God, I pray over everyone here that you will scream at us what that next step of growth is. We love you, Jesus, so incredibly much. Praise in your name.